This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Faye. With me, as always, Jack Manuel, and regular on the show, Matt Brooks. Fellas, how we doing?
Doing well today. Doing well. Kind of all moved into my new spot, so that is a relief. Moving, as usual, sucks, but I'm not moving. I'm not moving for a couple of years. I'm done with moving. I've moved too many times in New York, so that's where I'm at right now.
Matt has lots of hair.
Yeah, bad.
He's got a nice painting on the wall behind him, setting the flow right there. Like, that's what we like to see. Moving is terrible. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
My mom's an artist, so that's her work right there. I think it was one of the first paintings she did. So that'll be there. That'll be a fixture of I think, my new setup. So there you go. There it is.
There we go. And we are talking Nets trades today. Before we get into a quick reminder, you can always find us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, OTGBasketball.com, and Blue Wire Pods. But we talked superstars last time. Jack, what are we talking about this time?
Well, we've got about, I don't know how many more names on this Google Doc that I've got going on, but there was a semi-superstar that popped up on my timeline today, and that is the superstar in OKC, Chris Paul. I'll throw this proposal at you guys. We got Chris Paul and Terrence Ferguson coming to the Brooklyn Nets, and going back the other way is Garrett Temple, Spencer Dinwiddie, Torian Prince, Jared Allen, Jalen Musa, and a 2021 first. Matt, what are your thoughts on CP to BK?
I don't love the undersized backcourt thing, and I think one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot since this playoffs and everything has ended is that you want to size up more than you want to size down. Like, even the teams in the East, they're a little bit larger. You look at Boston, you think of them as one of the smaller teams. They've got these big wings and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum where you need really, really athletic players. And a guy like Chris Paul, who I like for certain teams. I like him on Milwaukee. I don't like him next to Kyrie Irving. I think it adds another guy that, you know, look, I know he moves the ball well, but the ball usually starts in his hands. I'm not a fan of it personally.
Yeah, same thing over here. Matt and I talked about it a little bit before the show started. Like, Chris Paul and Kyrie doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense. And based off the playoffs, you want a two-guard that can switch. You want somebody with at least a little versatility. It feels like if you had Paul and Irving in the backcourt, they would just kind of constantly be attacked and you'd have to worry about the defensively. And then not to mention, you know, Chris Paul is making $41 million next season and he has a $44 million option for 21-22, which he's going to definitely accept. And I think you have to take that in consideration as well.
Yeah, I think age and, you know, if you take the contract side out of it, you know, Chris Paul makes a lot of sense in terms of just having a guy as a defender on the perimeter to sort of balance out Kyrie Irving's lack of defensive acumen. You know, he's obviously a guy that got attacked quite a bit last season. And, you know, obviously Spencer and Karras are average to good in that area when they're on their day. But, you know, Chris Paul has shown time and time again, year after year, even in his current iteration as a veteran, that he still has the savviness, the intelligence, and the acumen to be a really good defender on the perimeter. So, I think for me, it's just a contract, and it's a lot of money. And maybe the other New York team will pick him up for Kevin Knox and Julius Randle. Who knows? But this is a Nets pod, so let's keep going with the Nets trade proposals. Another semi-star is Blake Griffin. And Blake Griffin was brought up by a Bleacher Report in this trade. And the Nets received Blake Griffin in return of a Spencer Dinwiddie, Torian Prince, and Garrett Temple package. Mr. Brooks, Blake Griffin, BG to BK, question mark?
I mean, if it was like for a flyer, but I don't think I would give up Dinwiddie for him. And I'm somebody that doesn't really like to hoard assets. I think, like, inherently, even if you're not a fan of the team, but you cover a team, you're inherently going to try to overvalue your assets a little bit, or the team's assets that you cover or root for. But I have to tell you, like, this, I draw the line at this pretty staunchly. I just think from Blake Griffin, all the injury concerns are a real thing. You don't know what you're going to get from him at all. And the player that you do get, Yeah, he's a nice player. I think he would work well next to Kyrie and KD, but I think there's a lot of defensive issues that pop off right away for me. And I don't know. I just don't think he fills a need whatsoever.
Yeah, and I think the injury concern is huge. Like, we don't even know who Blake Griffin's going to be. You know, last year he barely played at all, and those knees are not going to get any better miraculously. And like Matt mentioned, defensively, that's a concern. Like, I don't think he's never been a great defender, and no. After all these injuries, it's not like he's going to magically turn into one. I think this is kind of towards the bottom of the list. The only way I would see this happening is, like, the Nets are really struggling. They're trying to bring in a star and, like, make some pop. Maybe you go with a move like this, but I feel like there's lesser players in which you could get that would be a better fit for the team and actually help you win a championship. I'm not sure how much Blake Griffin moves the needle in terms of getting you closer to being the best team in the league.
Yeah,
I will say, Blake Griffin is also like, he feels like the panic trade, like the panic trade where you're like, oh, we need a star. Like, he's like probably number one draft pick or two draft pick for that.
Yeah. It's like what Detroit did in the first place.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he's a star name. And I think that his top iteration of form in like 18, 19 or like late 18 pre-playoffs was incredible. He was a top 10, top 15 player the way he was playing, all NBA level. But obviously the injuries play a heavy part, and you don't want a third superstar to have injury concerns when you've already got your two best players that have those injury concerns with them as well. So yeah, this is probably one to steer away from. If somehow you could replace Spencer Dinwiddie with someone else like Kuruts and Musa, maybe, why not? But yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie is clearly better than Blake Griffin right now, purely because we don't know what Blake Griffin is going to be when he gets back. And Spencer Dinwiddie is such a steady, consistent performer. You know you can rely on him. And that reliance is something that the Nets are going to need for next season because, you know, is Kyrie Irving going to play 82 games? Is Kevin Durant going to play 82 games? Probably not. But Spencer Dinwiddie is generally going to be there night in, night out, as he has been for the last 2 or 3 years for sure. Another trade that was brought up by our Bleacher Report, and we'll probably get to some more Jared Allen trades, but this Jared Allen trade gets in return for the Brooklyn Nets via Boston. Robert Williams, Carson Edwards, a 2021 first lottery protected pick. Matt, what do you think of Jared Allen heading to Boston for that package?
That one's interesting. I think it makes sense for Boston. For the Nets, you're just basically getting a worse version of Jared Allen, right? So yeah. I like Robert Williams. I think he's fine, but I don't know. I mean, do they really need a lottery protected pick and Carson Edwards, who is, I really am out on Carson Edwards like pretty severely. I don't know. I mean, it makes sense for Boston, but I just like the Nets right now, it makes sense if they weren't competing for a title, but like, why are you going to lose a player that's clearly better than what you're bringing in? It just doesn't make sense. It would make sense if they were at a different point in this journey, but they aren't at all.
Exactly what Matt said. If they were in a rebuild or, you know, not at a point of contention, but next year is all in, we're trying to win a championship, this trade doesn't really make sense unless there's a third team, unless the Nets aren't getting Robert Williams and Carson Edwards in that first round pick, and that's going to another team and they're getting another player from another team, because this doesn't really help them next season. Like Matt mentioned, Robert Williams has showed some promise in the postseason, but he's not ready to give you consistent minutes. He's probably a year or two away. That first round pick's not really doing anything for you, and Carson Edwards isn't going to find minutes in this rotation as is. So I'm not sure why the Nets would pull the trigger on this.
Yeah, I think you can get things that are a lot better for Jared Allen in a package or even by himself. Obviously, his contractual status, you know, with an extension on the horizon, you know, something certainly to look at. And obviously with DeAndre Jordan on, you know, $10 million in an inflated deal, you don't necessarily want to have $20, $25 million tied up in centers going forward on your roster. That doesn't necessarily make sense for the salary cap situation for the Nets. So, yeah, I mean, there's probably better Jared Allen trades out there. This probably isn't the best one that I have seen so far. Nick, I didn't necessarily see a trade package for this one, but you brought this up when we saw JJ Redick interviewing Steve Nash on his podcast, Old Man and the Three. Now, a package, obviously, is on about $12 million a season, so whether that's a Torian Prince, a Spencer Dinwiddie, you're not trying to carry the vote for him. Do you think that the Nets make a trade for him, or could you see him as a buyout candidate, actually?
Ooh, that's intriguing. Oh. I never really thought of him as a buyout unless, like, New Orleans is bad next season. I think they'll still be pretty good, at least in the playoff race, so I think it would have to be a trade. I mean, if you're trading Torian Prince and getting J.J. Redick as, like, a bench piece, I think you have to accept that. I don't know if you want to trade Spencer because he provides you a little bit more versatility. It kind of depends how other things are going. But I was just more so looking at it from the fact that, like, JJ was really sucking up to, you know, Steve Nash, Kevin Durant, having those guys. And it just felt like he had a lot of positive things to say about Brooklyn and those players, and obviously Steve Nash as a coach. So I think there is some interest from JJ Redick to play with a guy like Kevin Durant or even play under Steve Nash. I don't know if it would happen next season, but it could happen, you know, in the offseason if he signs as a free agent.
Yeah, and he lives there. So, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, playing things close to home is always nice, especially with a everything that's going on in the New York
area. He almost
had
the Nets too already.
I think it makes, I like the buyout idea a lot. The thing is, like, the West is so competitive. Like, when you really map it out and you look at every single team and you can kind of make a case that they've all improved. I don't know if I have a spot for New Orleans next year. They kind of feel like the team that everybody's going to hype up and then fall short. There's always one of those every year, but that could be completely wrong. They have so much talent.
Drew stays or leaves. Like, that's a big factor,
yeah,
too.
Holiday is
traded.
Which, I don't know. It seems like they're going to really feel out the market for him. That's what it seems like to me. I think it makes sense if it's TP, but anything more, it's going to be hard to match salaries. The Nets have a couple of really movable salaries, but they're players that are legitimately good. So it kind of, like, handicaps you a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't want to... I don't know. Like, even if Karras and Spencer don't make a ton of sense, they're just both so solid that it's like, you better get something back. Otherwise, I just don't see the point.
Yeah, I think JJ, imagine JJ Redick and Joe Harris on the perimeter. Dear Lord, how are you going to stop that? I mean, you probably couldn't play him at the same time. I mean, Joe's good enough defensively. JJ tries hard. He's an upgraded Kyle Korver in that regard. But he is, you know, in the twilight of his career now. But I just think it just makes me giddy thinking of, I mean, Nick, you love your spacing out there. Pace and space, dear Lord. Imagine, like, the pull-up threes from those two. A five-man lineup and you're including JJ Redick and Joe Harris. So, man, a man can dream. But, yeah, I think there's not a lot of packages that do make sense. And maybe there's some three trade deals that make sense around the wings. And obviously, JJ has been living in Brooklyn for quite a while now. Like Nick mentioned, he has been rumored, and the Nets have thrown offers at him, and he did consider the team. Seems to me that, you know, in whether at past this contract, you know, maybe if it's 2022, I could see, you know, a JJ Redick signing for a vet minimum or a mid-level exception or something. But,
yeah,
you know, I think it's a little bit harder at this current iteration, given that he's on 2 years, $25 million with one more year left on it. And maybe there is a buyout. You know, I just saw that brought up somewhere. You know, if New Orleans and David Griffin do decide to take a new direction and rebuild and get rid of the vets and build around Zion, who knows? Who knows? Funnier things have happened in the NBA. But...
You've counted on restaurants, now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national treasures like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery too. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on its way. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, that's code BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
We've got another sort of point guard acquisition, Patrick Beverley, to the Brooklyn Nets, and there's a three-team deal here. I'm not going to go through all of it. Basically, Patrick Beverley's on about $10, $11, $12, $13 million. So you'd probably have Torian Prince or Spencer Dinwiddie. Probably Spencer Dinwiddie, to be honest, because you're just getting not necessarily a like-for-like, but a like-for-like in terms of position, upgrade, or change. Patrick Beverley, obviously, a great defender, all-defensive caliber, and, you know, made the all-defensive team this year. Matt, in terms of adding a Patrick Beverley and you're subtracting, say, a Spencer, how much does that make sense for the Brooklyn Nets?
I think it makes sense in a way, Again, I want to size up. I'm like, I have a real thing with sizing up. I think he makes a lot of sense, though, if you're just kind of going the route of, like, we should improve this backcourt. I also think you can kind of get a discount version of Patrick Beverly, like, in terms of what you're sending out. And it's weird. Like, again, after watching these playoffs and seeing all these teams that have really performed well, I'm starting to, like, shrink a little bit on how I feel about, oh, they need to have a defensive guard. They need to have a defensive guard. I mean, yes, that helps if you have a point of attack defender, but I don't think it's a must. Like, I wasn't sitting here leaving this playoffs being like, wow, Marcus Smart, that's what every single team needs. Like, and he was great. Like, he really was. But I think it makes sense depending upon what it goes out for, and he's a good player, but I wouldn't want to trade too much for him.
Yeah, I think Spencer has more value than Patrick Beverly. So if I'm making that trade, I would want to get a first-round pick back or something like that, or maybe it's part of a bigger deal. And the trade that you posted the link for, Jack, they have Taurean Prince in a first-round pick going out. That makes more sense because you're getting rid of Prince's contract and you're bringing a contributor, somebody that kind of fits a defensive need. But like Matt mentioned, having guard defenders is almost somewhat worthless at different points because the amount of ball screens you're going to see in the postseason. Like, how many times did they just get Patrick Beverly, you know, off Jamal Murray or off Luka, whatever it might be? It just makes it a little bit less, you know, valuable for your team. And like Matt mentioned, I think adding a wing defender, like, if you ask me who's going to provide more value for the Nets next year, Patrick Beverly or adding a guy like Jeremy Grant, like, Grant is obviously going to be huge because of the versatility he provides, where Pat Bev is still, in my eyes, like, he's a very good defender, but he's still a lot of show. Like, there's more bark than there is actual really, really good play.
The point you just made about them, like, the value of defensive guards is really important because of how much screening there is in the game. So you can do, I mean, we saw a bunch of different things. Miami's a great example. They had their guards kind of sitting in the corners in that zone. Or you'd use them as, like, show and recover guys just to slow. So there's ways to work. I think teams are getting smarter and smarter with what they're doing defensively. And it actually, I think, matters a little bit less to have that point of attack guy. So that's a great point that you just made.
Yeah, I think Beverly on paper makes some sense. And, you know, I don't know how much KD likes him, to be honest, with the amount of shit that he gives him in the postseason. So maybe that's something to consider as well. But, you know, it would make the practices fun for Kyrie Irving having to be guarded by him. I'm not sure he would necessarily enjoy it either. But, you know, if you were to tell me replace Patrick Beverly with Marcus Smart, oh boy, Marcus Smart is literally the guy that I would want on this Brooklyn Nets more than anything in terms of his defensive acumen and ability to switch basically 1 through 5. The man is like a great defender in the post and a great defender on the perimeter and a great point of attack defender and a great one-on-one defender. He's probably one of the best defenders, one of the 3-4 best defenders in the league when it comes to that versatility. He's absolutely outstanding. Patrick Beverly, like you guys sort of alluded to, has proven and you know, has had these massive plays, like, you know, against the Lakers early in the season, that one play on LeBron. Like to talk a little bit, would certainly increase the villainous aspect of this Brooklyn Nets team. Man, there would be so many sound bites. We would just have like a Patreon sound bites for everything that Kyrie Irving, Patrick Beverly, and KD says. Maybe that's what. No, you know what? Patrick Beverly to the Nets, and then we can start a soundbite Patreon for the Brooklyn Buzz. Let's make it happen. Let's move on to something maybe a bit more reasonable and a bit more alluring. Via the Glue Guys, they posted this one on Reddit a couple of days ago, and I was glad I saw this one. And I know Matt was a fan of this one as well, but let's get his full thoughts on the Buzz. He was talking about Larry Nance Jr. to the Brooklyn Nets for a first rounder, Taurean Prince as a package to go back to Cleveland. Matt, what are your thoughts on LNJ coming to BKN?
So I think of one thing about Larry Nance, and it's that the Cavs were actually decently successful. It was a small sample, but they played him at the 3 next to, I believe it was Drummond and Tristan Thompson. And on paper, that makes no sense. You're like, how does that even work? But that's
it. Sounds like something 2K would put out there for like one of your lineups when you're playing my player, and they give you like the most random teammates, and you're like, yo, what are you guys doing?
But it worked, and I think a lot of it's that Larry Nance, like, yeah, he may not be the shooter that he was. I think he had a good shooting year this year. He may not be that type of a guy from 3, but he makes a lot of sense. Like, he's a real glue guy. He's got a lot of size to him. You can really play him 3 through 5. I mean, when you're talking about guys that I'm looking at this offseason, like, he's way up there. And I don't think that the cost would be that crazy. I think he makes a lot of sense next to KD especially. I mean, that's a guy that I think is a really, really good just a really good player. And I've always liked him, even back in LA. So yeah, man, I'm a big fan. I like this. And if it's only going to be a first from this year, sure. Like, whatever.
Yeah. And you're getting rid of Torian Prince's contract, which is something the Nets have been kind of looking to do, possibly. You know, they might still have some hope in him, but I wouldn't be surprised if they looked to get rid of that this year, especially with the way that the contracts are coming up. And Josiah obviously is willing to pay the tax, but how much is he willing to pay? And I think, like Matt mentioned, Larry Nance is a good player. Like, he has a lot of aspects of his game where he can have an impact. I like his passing, too. Probably one of the better passing bigs in the league, especially in a bench role. So I think you could see him be added to this team. I'm not sure if he would start or he'd be a guy off the bench, but he'd also give you some nice versatility in playing small ball, because he can play that small ball five sometimes. You can put him in at the four. He's improved his three-point shooting. Still not super consistent, but something where, like, hey, if you give him a couple corner threes, he might hit a few for you. So I'm not opposed to Larry Nance. I don't think he's the best player the Nets could get this year, but I wouldn't be upset if they added him to the roster.
No, and I think that you just need to add value and play and guys that can play in key playoff rotation minutes. And can Larry Nance Jr. do that? Absolutely. And I think you guys sort of alluded to it, and asserted Mike on the post and wrote it as well, in terms of just the versatility that he has. Can hit a shot here or there, has an incredible athleticism. I think he'd be really great in the open court as well, you know, throwing some, you know, cross-court passes, you know, whether it's Spencer or Kyrie or whatever. You know, I just think that he gives you both versatility on both ends of the floor, and, you know, can play the five a little bit. And I also just really, we've talked a little bit about guys and their sort of personalities and how that would fit. Larry Nance seems like a really cool, chill guy, and
yeah,
has a really awesome personality from what we know about him, and the stuff that he does and says on Twitter, and all the stuff that he's done for different sort of social causes and things related to him. So yeah, I'm all about this. And, you know, sometimes you got to get creative and think outside the box. And, you know, Cleveland, what is their direction? So maybe this is something where probably one of the more realistic trade discussions, player discussions that we've had so far. So yeah, Larry Nance Jr., let's make it happen.
And it's exactly what the Cavs should be doing, is like trading Nance and trying to get a first round pick given their situation. It makes more sense than any other trade we probably talked about in terms of both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. This is an unprompted one that isn't on my dot, but we'll stay with Cleveland. Tristan Thompson is talking about re-signing with the Cleveland Cavaliers in some form or another. If he were to take away the money, he's like, you know what? I want to win another championship. I don't care about the money. And he was to be like, I want to go play with Kyrie and reunite with my old teammate from Cleveland. Matt, what would you say to that?
I would say, what are you doing, man? Well, I don't get the point. There's so much positional overlap, especially because Kevin Love's probably closer to like a five at this point. Yeah, that's very puzzling. But I mean, he fits great. Like, he fits really well for the Clippers, for Brooklyn, if they wanted to go that route. I think he's a really nice fit there, if of course they move on from Jared Allen. He fits well for Boston. Like, there's a lot of teams that could use somebody like him, and he's really like a lot of energy in a way. Yeah. That look at how Dwight Howard was for the Lakers this year. Like, that's what he can bring, except I think a little bit more high level. He's a really good player, and he can shoot a little bit, just a little bit here and there. So
I think if he's motivated, he's such a different player. When he's playing with that high energy, like Matt mentioned, you know, attacking the offensive boards. We saw him in the finals be really good in switching onto a Steph Curry, a Klay Thompson out there, you know, when the Cleveland was back in the finals. So I think if you could get Tristan and you're getting rid of Jared Allen, that's okay. Like, that's a guy that I think would be willing to make those big hustle plays that a championship team needs. And, you know, you could probably get him out. I'd feel better about him in a closing lineup than I would DeAndre Jordan, just because he's a little bit more switching than DeAndre. And that might be something you're able to get away with if you sign him. And you don't have to necessarily make that big trade to add a center. But I would probably say at this point, he's probably an upgrade over DeAndre. So if we can get him for a backup price, I'd be happy about it.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. You know, the key thing is he still dating Chloe? That's all we need to know. If he still is, you can stay in Cleveland, my friend. Stay away from the lights of Brooklyn. And, you know, I don't want to necessarily see. I think Kendall has been on, like, the Nets bench once or twice. I think I've seen that, like, when Ben Simmons came to town. I remember seeing her there. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And, you know, the Sixers have obviously had their issues on and off the court. So let's keep away that Kardashian curse from Brooklyn. We've got enough things off the court to worry about already. Guys, I've got three Houston Rockets names to throw at you. Don't necessarily have packages, but you guys are smart enough to sort of figure it out. Robert Covington's on about, you know, 15-ish, 12, sort of 14, $16 million. PJ Tucker is becoming very close to the end of his contract. He's on about $8 million, a bargain basement contract. And Eric Gordon re-signed for about 4 years, $76 million. So different contracts and obviously different worth in terms of packages that would go back. But in terms of those three names, Matt, which one stands out to you as being the best Brooklyn Nets fit?
Would you do PJ and Robert Covington for Karis?
Oh, get spicy with it.
Yeah, I think it's something you consider. I think in terms of like fit, I think that's Covington is, I'm not sure there's a guy that fits the Nets better than Robert Covington. There's probably like Jonathan Isaac or Jeremy Grant, but like Covington and what he did in this postseason and in a smaller offensive role, it'd be so ideal. The only thing about trading for PJ Tucker is contract's up, and I know he's looking for to cash out for his next one, so I'm not sure if the Nets are going to do that. But if you were able to add both guys, your defense just took a major step forward. And obviously Houston got substantially worse. I think adding Karis would give them more offense. But if I'm Houston, I have Westbrook, James Harden, Eric Gordon, Karis LeVert. I'm not really intrigued by that deal. I think you'd have to find some type of three-way deal, or maybe it's sending Jared Allen, Spencer Dinwiddie, or something like that. It really could help the Nets if Kenny Atkinson's a coach, because he's going to value our guys a little bit more than other coaches would too.
Yeah,
true. He interviewed with them this week, so.
Yeah, we'll have to, I guess, wait and see on that one. Man, Covington and Tucker, that's two guys that literally fit the prototype of everything that Nets need as role players. Guys that can play, both of them showed that they can play at the five.
Yeah.
And that would definitely be closing in playoff crunch time and meaningful minutes for the Brooklyn Nets in the postseason, if and hopefully when we are playing there. You know, Robert Covington is a three-point shooter, you know, a defensive player, not necessarily great one-on-one, but an incredible help defender. PJ Tucker, meanwhile, an incredible one-on-one defender. And, you know, when you've got DeAndre Jordan to soak up some minutes, he would probably be a little less tired and a little less taxing on his body throughout the regular season, that he wouldn't have to be playing against the likes of Joel Embiid for extended minutes and those sort of guys. And I think he would be pretty damn happy with that. Eric Gordon doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I think he's on a downward trajectory of his career, let's put it that way. I think injuries are starting to catch up to him a little bit. Though, when he is on, he is on. I just think that Karis LeVert is a better player at this point in time. So, Matt, getting spicy with it. We always love the spice in the Brooklyn Buzz. But
do you guys think that they'll trade Robert Covington?
Like, I think they're the team that falls out. That's what I was about to say. Like, if there's any team right now that you're looking at, maybe other than Portland, like, I think that that's the team that I'm looking at to be like, hey, like, what if this really, like, what if that loss to the Lakers was more demoralizing than it even appeared on the court? Like, because what's their upside at this point? I feel like their window's closed.
Yeah, I never was really big on the whole Westbrook-Harden pairing and no center type of thing. I felt like it was going to be super tough unless they got into some crazy hot three-point shooting stretch in the postseason. They didn't do that. So it'll be intriguing if they're like, oh, you know what? We actually really need to add a center. And that's where having Jared Allen as a trade ship could really benefit the Nets, because that might be enough with maybe Torian Prince to get you Robert Covington and, you know, convince them, hey, Jared Allen, Torian Prince, and maybe the Nets have to throw in a first-round pick, in which they don't care about. Houston feels a little bit better about it. They have a young player, Torian Prince. They can tell themselves is a good forward to play out there, and maybe he'll improve his three-point shooting. So I wouldn't be surprised. I think that would be like somewhat of a rash move, because they just, you know, literally changed their entire team to get Robert Covington last year. But given what Houston's been doing in the past, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and maybe they're trying to cut costs as well. And Jared Allen is a cheaper option at this point in time. Obviously, you would have to pay him, but you would probably have to pay him less than you paid Clint Capella. You know, it's almost just like a cheap Clint Capella. And I think that, you know, James Harden has shown that he has a nice sort of range and a nice sort of versatility to play the pick and roll game. I don't think they've done that enough in Houston since Clint Capella left. And, you know, that two-man game and Jared Allen can really run the floor as well. So, yeah, I think that it makes sense.
He's from Texas.
He's from Houston as well. So it makes sense for a lot of parties involved. You know, if the Kenny Atkinson hiring were to go ahead, you know, Tillman Fertitta, who knows what that man wants to do? You know, if he's getting a few extra dollars from Donnie T, maybe he wants to keep things going for a little bit, or maybe he just wants to throw all the assets out the window, because we've seen, despite the fact that he said that he wants to pay the luxury tax, he hasn't done it yet. So I don't see it necessarily happening. I think that we've probably seen Daryl Morey want to do things that he hasn't been given the license to do so yet. So maybe the Nets can pounce on that, because Joe Tsai has said that the Nets will pay the luxury tax. And, you know, if it means, you know, getting, obviously re-signing Joe Harris to an extended deal, and then getting guys the likes of PJ Tucker and Robert Covington, who are on, also Covington's on a below market value deal.
Yeah.
Obviously you would probably have to re-sign PJ Tucker to something as well, but that's something for Sean Marks and the front office to consider. One that blew up Nets and NBA Twitter in general. My guy, we spoke about him on a previous pod. I think in the offseason, we're going to get Paul Hedley on the Brooklyn Buzz. I think it'll be a really fun episode. Might get him on JBT as well. But Paul Hedley, the deal proposed to the Brooklyn Nets goes Eric Bledsoe and Dante DiVincenzo, and to the Milwaukee Bucks, Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert. Matt, does this make any sense for the Brooklyn Nets?
No, it doesn't. I mean, I like Paul a lot, but no, this doesn't make any sense. And I respect him for putting it out here. I just respect anybody that makes fake trades. Like, I don't have the mental fortitude for that. I don't have it. I don't have the strength for the quote tweets. I know it's that season. You'll rarely catch me do it. But no,
I have a hard time not responding to people.
Like, yeah, it's too much for me. It's just a bad recipe. But no, it doesn't make any sense. I don't think personally, Bledsoe is just not a playoff player, and I don't want him anything. Like, just I don't want him on a championship roster. I don't think he fits there. DiVincenzo's fine, but another guy that I'd be like, okay, let's see what you look like next year. I think you're a really nice player, but you know, I mean, the 3-point shot's not there, and I don't know. You're really bringing in two non-shooters for guys that you just know are good by now. I'm not into it.
Yeah, I'm not into it either, obviously. Jack and I mentioned a little bit in the past. I'd make an argument if you put Spencer or Caris on the Milwaukee Bucks this season instead of Eric Bledsoe, they probably would have had more postseason success.
Yep,
just definitely. Given that Bledsoe has no offensive game when it comes to the postseason. All he can do is drive. And I remember this year his numbers weren't as bad, but I remember talking to Mo DeKeel on an outlet like a couple months ago and him saying like, Eric Bledsoe put up some of the worst rim numbers last season in the postseason. So if he's not giving you any type of offense, what is he doing? Dante DiVincenzo looks like he'll be a nice player, but I'm not even sure he's going to be a long-term starter in the NBA. He seems more of like a bench guy that gives you some nice energy, hits a couple threes, plays some good defense. I'm not trading two fringe all-star players for these guys.
The Nets would get the two worst players in this four-player package. So yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense. The best version of Eric Bledsoe is an all-defensive caliber guard. And you watch him in the regular season, it's just like, I don't know what happens. It seems like the Monstars steal his talent in the postseason because he just loses all ability to create his own shot as a point guard and run the floor a little bit, take a little bit of the burden away from Giannis. Whereas Spencer and Caris can create their own shot. They don't have the defensive ceiling that Eric Bledsoe does. Caris LeVert, we've said time and time again, Zach Lowe, a much smarter mind than all three of us, has said it as well, but we're yet to see it, and I'm not sure if it's ever going to happen. But Eric Bledsoe as a defender, I get that. Like, as a pure standalone point of just getting a guy who can balance out Kyrie Irving, a la Patrick Beverly, who we spoke about earlier in the episode, Chris Paul as well. But Eric Bledsoe just has such a limited, versatile skill set and has done, as Matt alluded to, nothing in the postseason for the past 3 years. And what the Nets need is guys that can contribute meaningful playoff minutes. And that has been a key sort of point throughout this episode. So, yeah, Paul, we'll get you on the Buzz or JBT soon enough so you can give your reasoning to that one, because it doesn't make a lot of sense to us. Let's put it that way. All right. Last name I'll throw you at you guys. We've got so many still to go. Wow. But the last name I'll throw at you is a guy who won the NBA Hustle Player of the Year 2019-20, Montrezl Harrell. Got this one from Nets Reddit. Matt, does the 2019-20 Hustle Player of the Year have any room to grow on the Brooklyn Nets in 2020-2021?
He sure wasn't hustling versus Nikola Jokic. I'm not into Montrezl Harrell at all. I think he's really undisciplined defensively. He's a complete zero outside of 3 feet. I don't even know who's going to sign him this summer. I almost feel like the Clippers are going to re-sign him just because, I don't know, weird things are happening over there. I zero to do with Montrezl Hill, like completely zero.
Yeah, undersized big that can't really play the five, doesn't have a 3-point shot. And like Matt mentioned, I think a lot of people soured on him in the postseason. Like, you make a good argument that if they played Zubac or Jermichael Green more, they might have beaten Denver. Like, yep. Playing Montrezl Harrell so many minutes just isn't the key. You know what
I mean? He got his coach fired.
Yeah, he got Doc Rivers fired. Like, we're not even talking about, like, some scapegoat coach. We're talking about Doc Rivers here.
Yeah.
And just imagine putting Kyrie and Montrezl Harrell on a pick and roll. Like, that's something other teams are going to eat and look to attack. So it doesn't make sense for the Nets to get a big that doesn't have good D.
Yeah. You have to pay him as well. You have to pay him. That's what he wants. And
I don't even think the Nets could acquire him given the contract he's probably going to get in the whole free agency and sign and trade type of stuff. It'd be very difficult and complicated.
It's literally like a lesser version of the old school Lob City DeAndre Jordan. And DeAndre Jordan was a pretty good defender. Maybe not really good.
No, he was a good, a couple of years he was up for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, okay. He was a really good defender under Doc Rivers in the Lob City days. You know, maybe if you're trading DeAndre for Montrezl Harrell, it makes some sense. But even then, I think the chemistry fit of DeAndre Jordan just makes a world of sense. And he's shown that not just with, you know, the two besties, but he's shown it with everyone as a whole. So, yeah, wanted to end it there. I don't know how I still have basically a page and a bit left of names. We've got to get Matt back. We've got to just keep going through these. The Nets trade extravaganza for the Brooklyn Buzz is nonstop, and I'm sure other names will pop up. If you do have other names that you want to talk about, throw them at us at the JMNJBT, at Matt Brocksev NBA, or at OTG Nick. The names will be flying, and we'll discuss every and every one of them.
The weird names are actually preferred. Like, if you have some interesting trade that hasn't been thrown out there, hit us with it. But guys, who is your favorite name that we talked about today? If the Nets could acquire that one guy that we discussed today, who would it be?
I mean, I feel like I'm going to go so niche here. I kind of want to say Larry Nance for what you're sending out. I'm not kidding like that. You're not sending out much. I knew you were going to say it. I think he's like such an attainable player, and he makes a lot of sense. I don't even know if he'd play. He'd be in an 8-man rotation, but like he's not playing that many minutes. Now, in all seriousness, it's probably going to be like a Robert Covington, but
yeah.
You know what? I'll be fun. I'll say Larry Nance.
I like it. Nerd NBA Twitter, Matt at his finest. That's what I want to see. That's what I love to hear. Yeah, I think Covington and Tucker. You know, I've, in a previous outlet series of building championship teams, I had PJ Tucker as my starting five. And I honestly do believe that he just adds so much value. And you have him sitting in the corner there. You know, he doesn't need the ball in his hands at all. All three of the guys, you know, Nance, Covington, and Tucker are probably the three. And you know, maybe give me some Montrezl Harrell. Nah, I'm just joking. But those three names probably are the ones. If I'm ranking them, I'm going Covington, Tucker, Nance. Just because Tucker's a more proven commodity, as Matt sort of alluded to, Nance will certainly get some rotation minutes. But have we seen him prove it in meaningful time? You know, it is a little bit reductive to say, oh, what have they done in the postseason? What have you done for me lately? But it kind of rings true for a team that has championship aspirations.
And one nice thing about PJ Tucker that's kind of understated is his leadership and his defensive communication. Like, Houston's not the same level defensive team without PJ Tucker out there kind of shouting and telling people where to go. But my preferred guy would probably be Robert Covington, just given he can give you some offensive pop, and then off ball defensively, he just provides so much, especially for guys that are going to need help at different points, you know, for the Nets next year defensively. But that's it for me. As always, you can catch the Buzz on all streaming platforms. The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get on every possible chance to win the season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, divisions, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at BetOnline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts.